first lesson, the fall of man and the first proclamation of the gospel. You can turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, or it's also printed there for you on page 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." As we hear this first carol, this first lesson from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, we're reminded and we're confronted that we are like Adam and Eve, that we very frequently, like Adam and Eve in our sin, we seek to hide, we seek to cover up, we seek to put our own figs and leaves over us to cover our sin. And the good news of the gospel, though, is that we can come out of hiding, even with our sin, and we can lay it before the throne of grace. We can confess our sins and find that our God is gracious and kind and merciful to forgive us our sins. And so that's what we have this time before us this morning. We're in the page 4, you'll find a corporate confession of sin that we'll read together. We're in unison. We as the people of God will confess our sin. And then after that, there'll be a time where privately in your own seats, you can go before the Lord and take your sin to him and find his mercy and grace as you confess and repent of your sin. But first, let us confess together using the words on page 4. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Amen. And having confessed your sins, hear these good news, these words of assurance about the steadfast love of God that's been poured out on us in Christ, that we are indeed forgiven because of Christ, from Romans chapter 5. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is that our King has come and he has redeemed us. Our next carol, let us stand and sing hymn 203, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Second lesson. Whereas Derek read a passage earlier, I'm going to read a little bit of a highlight reel from Isaiah. It's going to be hard to follow along unless you're on page 5 of your bulletin. This is the prophet foretells the coming Messiah. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So wonderful and absurdly unlikely promises for us, and we get to celebrate them by singing hymn number 194, O Come Emmanuel, which is my favorite Christmas carol. And I feel bad for the Tomlinsons, because by the time the song's over, I will be sitting behind you, probably making you wish that you weren't here, because I'm going to be singing so loud, because I love this song.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel. third lesson this morning is the prophet foretells the glory of little Bethlehem, taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. And for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace when the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces. Then when we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. Now please now join me together and let's sing hymn number 201, A Little Town of Bethlehem.
Fourth lesson, the angel Gabriel meets the Virgin Mary. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If you would now stand, and we'll sing hymn number 207, "Good Christian Men Rejoice."
Our fifth reading, our lesson, is the Virgin Mary responds to the words of the angel in worship and in humility. It's found from Luke 1:46, and it is Mary still with presence with Elizabeth, soon to be the mother of John the Baptist. Mary's song of praise, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will be called blessed. For he who is mighty has done a great thing for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercies, and he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned to her home. The next hymn will be "All Praise to Thee, Eternal Lord," hymn 219.
Thank you. So this is the sixth lesson. So St. Matthew and St. Luke tell of the birth of Jesus. So we'll be reading from Matthew 1 and Luke 2. This is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. You can stand, please, and we'll be singing hymn 208, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
You may be seated. The seventh lesson, the shepherds are led to the manger, and this is immediately following the last lesson in Luke, Luke 2:8-16. Follow along with me. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Our next carol is "Once in Royal David City." It's hymn 225. This time, remain seated as we sing.
Our eighth lesson comes from Matthew's Gospel, in chapters 2, verses 1 through 11. Here we hear of the wise men and how they are led by the star to Jesus. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where was the Christ to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them when what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose from before them came until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Our next hymn, where we will remain seating, is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, hymn 211.
Ninth lesson, St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. This is in John 1, first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. full of grace and truth.
Well, this is the Christmas season, that time of year where we are busily wrapping gifts, and it's a process that I have not yet learned very well. The gift wrapper in our house is Renee, but I can appreciate a nicely wrapped gift. And what is the very last thing that is done in the gift wrapping process? It is to finish it all off, the moment where the bow is either tied or the bow affixed to that package as the finishing touch with this beautiful gift that is going to be given in love. You know, we often use this idiom when we say to tie a bow on something to express something being completed or resolved in a satisfying and very pleasing, beautiful way. And so here's a question for us. How might we tie a bow on this lessons and carol service? The scriptures read this morning and the carols that we have sung have joined together to proclaim the glorious, wondrous, gracious, unbelievable story of the gift of God's redeeming love to sinners in Jesus Christ our Lord. The words of Psalm 118 are precious words. This psalm that was written as a processional psalm to the temple that recounted the great deliverance that God had wrought. We do not know the actual occasion for Psalm 118. Maybe the return of the exiles from Babylon, the rebuilding of the temple and the wall. But we do know the ultimate fulfillment of Psalm 118, and it is in the deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to read Psalm 118 later today and see Christ declared in that psalm. It is through his suffering. It is through the nations raging against him. It is through his vicarious death that our sin is forgiven, and that in him and through him we have gained entrance into the heavenly place by faith, where we are in God's presence always. He has brought us into God's presence. The words of Psalm 118 are precious words, but we'll just look specifically at the first four verses of Psalm 118, where the psalmist, in light of this great deliverance that God has done, as the one worshiper in Psalm 118 that ultimately points to the Lord Jesus Christ, is making his way to the temple there to enter through those gates of righteousness. The psalm begins with this, and it will also end with this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 118 calls us to respond to God's deliverance in thanksgiving. The word used, translated, steadfast love, is actually one Hebrew word, and it refers to God's covenant love. It is a love that is enduring, a love that is eternal, a love that will never fade, a love that will never, ever tarnish, a love that will never waver, a love that will never disappoint. God's covenant love for his people, celebrated in Psalm 118, is ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ.
He is the one to whom that psalm points. He is the great deliverer that is mentioned in that psalm, where the Lord Jesus has delivered God's people from bondage to sin, Satan, and death. The one worshiper in this psalm points us to Jesus, who suffered and was victorious in this deliverance from sin, death, and Satan. The very lessons that we have heard read from Scripture today, the very reality that we have lifted up in song, this wonderful, glorious story of God's deliverance in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This deliverance reconciles us to God by removing that barrier of sin. In Christ, we now have full access. We can, as it were, run through the gates of righteousness into the very presence of God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus died and shed his blood to pardon the guilt of our sin. The Lord Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life and imputed that righteousness to us by faith, through faith. And in him, the portals of heaven are open wide for God's people to come and worship and be in his presence. Psalm 118 is the last of the Egyptian Hallel psalm sung at Passover, the annual feast celebrating God's great deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Not only did the crowds on Palm Sunday sing this psalm and recite portions of it at least, as Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem beginning Passion Week, where later he would die on the cross and then rise from the grave. And as the crowd sung this psalm, as Jesus entered, they were identifying him as the deliverer, as Messiah. And this psalm was likely sung by Jesus himself, even as he led his disciples in the upper room on that Passover night before he went to the cross. He sang this hymn, and then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane in anguish. And the next day, he died for you and me. The one who sang this psalm on that Passover night is the very one who fulfilled it for us. This psalm will not be the last time it will be recited with regards to Jesus. Matthew's gospel tells us, Jesus himself said in Matthew's gospel, that at his second advent, his second coming at the end of the age, Jesus said this, "For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say." The very words of this psalm, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Psalm 118 is our song of grateful praise for the steadfast love of God, his covenant love that we have heard read today, that we have lifted up in song today. It is his love in Christ Jesus that has opened wide the gates of heaven for us. And it will be a psalm sung at Jesus' second coming when he returns to complete all that he has won for us. Dear friends, the bow we tie on this service of lessons and carols today is one of deep, deep, heartfelt gratitude for this glorious and wondrous gift of God's covenant, enduring love for us in Christ Jesus. In response to this wonderful story and reality that we have heard read and that we have lifted up in song, let us, let covenant say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that indeed we are able to sing with our hearts just full of joy these words concerning your steadfast love. Father, we think back to the very first lesson this morning that is the promise of the gospel, where there we're told in Genesis 3:15 that the head of the serpent will be crushed and the seed of the woman, though wounded, will be victorious. And Father, we have followed that story throughout the scriptures this morning, and we end with the glorious note of the Lord Jesus, now exalted in heaven and reigning, whereby we have full access to the throne of grace in and through him. And so, Father, we now end this service, and we should live every day in light of your steadfast love. And Father, we give you thanks, and we praise you for your love, your covenant love for us in Christ Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Would you take your hymnal and join me in standing as we conclude by singing hymn number 214, Angels We Have Heard on High. Now receive the benediction. May the love of God the Father and the grace of Christ the Son and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.